Hello, hello. Welcome to Lecture 5 of International Business. Today we are talking about political forces and their impact on global trade. So I will tell you that this one is a little bit of a shorter lecture, but that is okay. In the first 4 weeks, it's been a lot of information. So let's jump into Lecture 5. Let's talk about political forces, and let's talk about their importance when it comes to, not only nations, but international companies as well. So let's discuss the ownership of a business. So if you think about the ownership of a business, there is nationalized businesses, there are private businesses, there are different owners that exist. And I think there is a misconception that says that most government-owned businesses are only found in socialist nations. But that is simply not true. For example, in the United States, the federal government owns many businesses. The Tennessee Valley Authority is an example of a business that is owned by a government entity, the Tennessee Valley Authority. Why would a business own, why would a government own a business? There's a constant push and pull about what's right and what's not right in privatization versus nationalization and those kind of things. But the motivations for owning businesses by federal government, they vary. And one is the belief that a government can manage a business better than a private company. Other reasons are greed-related or related to structure or things like that. Businesses should be for the public good, like healthcare. Therefore, cost should be as cheap as possible. That would be another reason maybe a government would want to own a business. There is the belief that those businesses make money, which can then be used for public good, and as well as a way to increase profitability and enact political goals. So that is certainly something you see in some nations where the profits made off of the businesses which they operate then further their political agenda. There is an idea around privatization as well, and that government may make a business private because they want to gain efficiency in the business operations. It is a way to raise money, or it is a result of a change in political climate, such as going from a socialistic framework to a democratic framework. So if you think about privatization and you think about gaining efficiency, that's an important notion. So remember that businesses, private businesses, are in the business of making money. And in order to make money, for whatever that may be, for whatever reason that may be, whether it's for shareholders and stakeholders, like we talked about last lecture, or if it's for other reasons, businesses want to make as much money as possible. So when a private business is owned, one of the things they have to do is they have to become as efficient as humanly possible, because that's cost savings, and then that savings can be then put back into the company, which would lead to a larger profit, etc. A government that runs a business does not have those concerns necessarily. So if you want to make a business private, then you gain efficiencies by doing so. One of the things that you will hear me say, I said it in Lecture 1, I will say it again, is that businesses have a goal of wanting to be in stable environments. So stability and protection are major, major, major factors for a private business that's operating. So a stable government means that businesses prosper because there are predictable policies. Companies like stability. They like knowing the political, the social, the economic framework of a country, and they want it to remain the same. So they do not like unrest because it's bad for business. You can certainly see this in the United States from the response from COVID and also from some of the social unrest that has happened. So when there's social unrest, when there's a pandemic, when there's instability, which is what this is, instability, when there's instability, then that leads to things that businesses don't like loss of income, damage to their property, to those kind of things, which makes a business not succeed, and many businesses or franchises or whatever will end up closing as a result of a social, political, economic unrest, those kind of things. So as a general rule, businesses want stability. General rule, businesses do not like change. So that's an important component to remember and to recognize, is to make sure that you understand that. One other thing is businesses will protect their interests of the citizens over and nations of over the interests of foreigners. So whether it is a nationalized business or whether it is a private business, generally they're going to do what they can to protect their interests because that's their customer base. So the governments take steps to protect their own national interests. We already talked about a few of these. Over the course of the 4 weeks, we've talked about tariffs, and that's a way that you can protect your national interests. And we will talk about that as well, a little bit more as well. So I just want to talk again and just emphasize again the importance of stability. Stability from terrorism, from piracy, from kidnapping, from cybercrime, all these things are critical that there is stability for a business to succeed. Businesses do not like chaos. Governments intervene in trade, and we've talked a lot about this through government agreements, through tax holidays, through structures that are in place. We talked about a lot about this in Lecture 2, that governments intervene in trade. They do, but the reason they do so is for several reasons. Some is to protect the cost of goods. So they do that through tariffs or subsidies, which can help offset some of the costs that consumers feel. So they may subsidize, like farming, for instance, in the United States is subsidized, and that reduces the cost of food for individuals. Or they may impose tariffs to incentivize people to buy American products or whatever country over other products as well. So say you have a water bottle from the United States, it may cost $1.50 for this water bottle, where China produces it and ships it to the United States, it may cost 40 cents, and it's a bottle of water. Well, most people would buy the 40 cent water over the $1.50 water. So the government can put tariffs and things in place to protect the product and make it so they're both $1.50, and then people can choose based on other factors which bottle of water they want. A government may restrict trade to protect industries that are critical to security, like energy, for patriotic purposes, which I think we have seen some examples of that recently, or to protect harm on arrival through imposing sanctions. So we can say we will not trade with X country until they change their political structure, or they quit whatever, or they do whatever. So the U.S. has certainly had sanctions against several countries over the past few years, whether those are warranted or not, whether there's merit behind them or not, it's definitely a tool that the U.S. has used quite often to express displeasure at certain practices that are happening. Other reasons may be to protect domestic jobs. Again, if you have a bottle of water that costs 40 cents versus $1.50, then that $1.50 company may go out of business pretty quickly if they're an American-based, U.S.-based company, and or any country, and that would affect the cost of the water and would ultimately affect American jobs. So I think most of those make sense, that the idea behind protecting your interests, protecting people, and then as a government, you have tools to do that, I think makes sense to most people. But one of the things that you have to think about is the implications of making that decision. So if you decide that you're going to impose a bunch of tariffs on, for instance, China, then China can come back and say, okay, you're going to impose a bunch of tariffs on our products, then we're just going to do the same back to you. And then that has larger, broader implications, because if China and the U.S. are engaged in a trade war, then like companies, investors get very... they like stability, they don't like uncertainty, so then they're not going to be investing in products, which affects the global economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is that any sanctions or any measures that you take to protect your interests, whether you are a national company or whether you're protecting private business, you got to understand the dynamics and what's going to occur if you do that on a global scale, because everything is interconnected, as we've talked about. One last thing that I'll mention, tariff barriers is a way of raising the selling price, and we talked about that. But what I didn't mention before was that you can do it one of a couple ways. You can do it either as a percentage of the invoice, or it could be a fixed sum. So you could say that, if you sell this bottle for water, there's a 10% tariff on imports of water that are coming in. So that would make the bottle of water $1.10. Or you could say every bottle of water that's shipped to the United States has to pay $1 in tariff fees, so that would make the bottle of water $2. So you can either make it a percentage or you can make it a fixed cost as a country. Those are generally the ways you will go. So I told you that this would be a short lecture, and I am holding to my promise. I just wanted to explain a couple of the political forces, since I made mention to it in lecture one. I wanted to spend some time just talking about those. We will be moving to intellectual property rights next, which should be interesting. But before we do, as we always do, we take a moment and we highlight a company. So today we're going to focus on the German-based company, Aldi. So Aldi's is a grocery store chain, and one of the cool things about them is that they tend to be lower priced, much lower prices. They do things like they don't have people help you out to your car. You have to pay a quarter to get the cart, then you get your quarter back when you return it. They do things like that to save money, and then they pass those savings to you through the price of other products. Like you can see here that these products are a little cheaper than you might find at other places. And they have all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can see that. So let's talk about Aldi as a company and not necessarily about their products. So here you go. This is what they talk about. They have obviously high standards. They have organic stuff. They have exclusive products. They believe in no certified synthetic colors. They value customers coming first. And then, you know, obviously they do trend things as well, and they are highly recognized for the things they do. Some of the things, they do community giving as well. They have social responsibility. You're seeing this theme with most companies. DEI is important to most companies, but Aldi's is a very well-known brand, and I wanted to introduce you to it. Before I go, I just want to show you one other thing, and then we will move on. But you can see here that they have jobs all around the United States and also abroad. And you can do everything from part-time work all the way to full-time work as well. They have jobs in administration. And look at that, they're looking for finance and administration individuals right now. So anyway, I wanted to spend a moment talking about Aldi. I appreciate your attention with them, and I would ask you to check them out as a international grocery store. So with that, let us close in prayer, and we will move on to the next lecture number 6. Heavenly Father, thank you for this class. Thank you for the opportunity to learn about some of the political factors and some of the things that countries can do to protect businesses, whether they're a national business or whether they're a private business, and then some of the reasons that you would have to be a private business versus a national business. So, Lord, as we move into different areas as in our study of international business, as always, we pray that you will help us use the information that we learn here today and help us to assimilate it and be able to use it to further your kingdom work, Lord. That's what's most important, and that is what is most critical. So, Lord, thank you for this class. Thank you for each individual that is watching this lecture. I pray that you will bless them and bless their family and continue to have them focus on you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you so much for your attention in this. And as I said, we are moving on to intellectual property rights, which should be a very interesting and robust discussion. So looking forward to it, and have a wonderful day.